Of course, we always speak about from the Maliki school. Now, the dowry in marriage is an obligation from the groom to the bride. And it is an agreed upon amount of money. It's an agreed upon amount of anything of value. It could be a ring. It could be an action, a service. And it could be money. But it has to be something that can be objectively measured. And it's to be agreed upon. And it should be negotiated usually by the wali, not by the bride herself. Because she may be embarrassed to hassle her husband-to-be. But her father would not. Right, her father would actually feel the opposite inclination. He wants to sort of not. It is a feeling of I'm handing my daughter from my house to your house, from me being the main caretaker to you. So he is giving his daughter away, even though this is not a sale. She's getting the money, not him. Right, but he feels that he wants to make sure that this is done right, and he ends up he'll probably negotiate better. Now the Prophet ﷺ also advise the walis, the awliya in this case, to not make marriage difficult, or else the shabab will not marry and then maybe do something worse if they're stuck not being married. That's the dowry. Now, what happens if people forget? It's possible. They forget to include the mahr in their marriage process. And they actually have a nikah, and out of ignorance, they're like, oh shoot, we never did a mahr. Are they adulterers? The answer is no. So this is a pillar of nikah that it can be forgotten. What cannot ever be forgotten, the wali in the Maliki school, as opposed to the Hanafi school? Ijab and qabul. You don't have a contract, you don't have a nikah if you don't have those two things. So two more things. One is the dowry, one is the witnesses. The witnesses are necessary for consummation. So we're sitting in the father of the bride's house. We're sitting in his living room. And he says, wallahi, you're a good man. And we know you and we trust you and we're ready to marry. Someone says, why don't we marry right now? It's okay, it's just me. Let's say it's me, my daughter, and the groom and my wife, right? Let's say, hypothetically. No witnesses. His mom, still not a witness. Need the male witnesses. So we say, okay, zawajtuka ibnati. I married my daughter to you. He says, قَبِلْتُ. Boom, they're married. But he cannot take her and go into another room. Consummation in Sharia refers to entering into privacy. Something where intimacy could occur. It doesn't have to be only that. For example, meet me in the woods. The woods is a public place, right? But intimacy could happen there. So anywhere where intimacy could happen, that is not allowed until there are witnesses, so that nobody can accuse these people. Nobody accuses them and says that they did this, that, or the other. So now in this case, they would say, for example, let's go to the masjid. They drive to the masjid. The man stands up. Oh, people, I testify to you, I have married my daughter to this man. And this man has accepted and he agrees. Khalas. You've now made ishar of it. And so therefore, now there won't be doubts, there won't be accusations. So the witnesses is a rukun of the marriage that is only needed for half of the marriage, which is the consummation, not the contract. So he's contractually married to this, they're married. But they cannot consummate the marriage or act upon it until the community knows. Minimum of the community is two male upright Muslim witnesses. Now we forgot the dowry. And he consummated, we have witnesses, and they went alone. And they lived, they spent the night, and they went on a honeymoon. And oh my gosh, came back from the night, forgot the dowry. Are we adulterers? Are we fornicators? No, they're not. If they intentionally left it off, that's different. But they forgot about it. Or they said, let's talk about it later, and they forgot to talk about it later. So now, they agree upon a dowry, once they remember. So two people, let's say they get married without a dowry. Or let's say they get married outside of Islam. Then they both convert to Islam, which, by the way, from North Carolina, we had a case like that. Not a case, but I met a couple like that. Brother just visited us here in New Brunswick last month. He entered Islam. His wife entered Islam. His kids also became Muslim, right? Whole family is Muslim now. Amazing. Amazing case. Talking about it like it's an amazing story, I should say. Right? Yeah. Amazing story. So he, what would he have to do? Does he have to remarry? Is this Christian? If you had a civil marriage, you have a Christian marriage, you have a Hindu marriage, the Sharia deems you to be married. You just have to fulfill the conditions now that you missed. So let's say he had gotten married, case like this, without a dowry. He'd just pay the dowry afterwards. They have to agree upon it. What happens if the marriage is already said and done, but they don't agree on a dowry? Well, as long as they don't agree on a dowry, the wife has the right to say, all right, don't touch me then. Even if they agree and he refuses to pay it, don't touch me. That's why the dowry is important. Mahr, sadaq. It's called a mahr. It's called a sadaq. It could be called a dowry in English. I know in India, the word dowry means the reverse. So we have to be careful of that. So then our situation is there that they have to get an arbitrator who will inform them of sadaqul mithl. Sadaqul mithl refers to average dowry. It's salary arbitration, basically. People of your likeness. What do they get when they get married, right? When they get contracts, right? Someone with your batting average and your stolen bases, right? And your years. What is he getting? And there's three guys very similar to you. They're all getting $5 million a year. This one's 4.9. This one's 5.2. This one's 5. You're going to get 5. That's it. So in the case that they forgot about the sadaq and they cannot agree on the sadaq, they go with sadaq and mithl, and it becomes binding. Why? Because the marriage is already done. They're already consummated. So let's talk about some other things related to the sadaq, the dowry. It can be paid over time. A man says, you go and you marrying into a very wealthy family. It's not fathomable that you're going to marry maybe for, let's say, for under $20,000 dowry. That's easy. In some communities. Certain communities, it's not that. That's low, by the way. That's low. That's low dowry in some communities. Yeah. There are some communities, everyone's involved in certain industries, that the baseline of that industry is you're going to be rich. It's only the difference whether you're rich or really rich. And the rich in those communities feel poor. They feel poor, even though they're rich. Okay. So in those situations, he can pay it over time. There's nothing wrong with that concept. So, all right, I'll give you, let's say it's going to be 10,000. I don't have 10,000, but I do have a job. I can't afford, but I don't have savings to 10,000. All right, I'll give you 3 now, and I'll give you 1 on January 1st of every year for the next 7 years. Now, let's say they do that. Let's say they get divorced in year 2. So he paid 4. He owes 6 more, right? Does he have to pay those 6 more than now they get divorced? He does. It's a debt. It's a debt. If he dies, married or not married, we remove that immediately and we consider that a debt owed. It is a debt owed. So then the inheritance happens after. The estate is just divided up afterwards. The estate is divided up after bequests to non-inheritors, maximum 1/3. And debts. Now, what is forbidden in the Maliki school is mu'akhar sadaq. The mu'akhar sadaq is valid in certain madhabs, but in the Maliki school, they don't like it. And what is it, first of all? It is that if you divorce, you owe this much. If you divorce in year 1, you owe 20K. If you divorce in year 2, you owe 10K. If you divorce in year 5, you owe 5K. So on and so forth. Or in general, if you divorce, you owe 20K. Why is this unlawful? Because it's actually harmful. Because let's say the man wants to get a divorce. He's going to lose his wife, half the time with his kids, probably half his house, probably half his salary for the rest of his life. And on top of that, he's going to lose 20K. He'll say, no, I'm not doing this. So what is he going to do? He's going to say, well, my options in Sharia is for her to request a divorce. And then I didn't divorce her. Khula. How can I get her to request that divorce? So he'll bother her and bother her and bother her until she requests the khula, so that he doesn't have to cough up the 20K or the 25K or sometimes it's ridiculous amounts of money. So you see, that's why Sheikh Abdul Hamid al-Mubarak, he says, in our madhab, we don't allow mu'akhar sadaq. And it's harmful to her. That's why he says that.